Father God, it's just so good to be reminded this morning that you are constant and you are ever true. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And it's just so good to be reminded this morning, you are our Father. We are your children. You're taking such good care of us. We just want to give ourselves this morning into your care. We know your word is always so helpful to each and every one of us. Pray for our hearts this morning that we would be the good ground, ready to receive the word that you're about to speak to us. We all need to grow. We all need to go further from where we are. And we pray, Father, you would speak to each one of us personally and individually this morning. Amen. Well, good morning, especially if you're new. I know there's a couple of new people here, new families. We welcome you. Welcome to Church in Toronto. Hope you got a good, warm welcome when you came. We are in a series called Kingdom Sight, and I personally have not been here for the past 2 weeks, so this is really interesting for me to share the third message in a series. Working with the grade six a couple of weekends ago and seeing some of them get saved, receive the Lord was awesome. Last weekend away for just some family things, so Let me pick it up here. Nigel shared a couple of weeks ago about our heart and how important it is for us to have a heart that's in the right condition to be able to receive what God has spoken. Dale shared last week about, as we're growing, we should not have this understanding that we're here to eradicate evil. There is going to be evil in the world, and that's not our primary job. Our primary goal as believers is to grow. And it is also not to point a finger at other people and tell them that you are a weed or you are a tare and go pulling people out prematurely. And I think Dell shared quite well that we all started out as weeds. Amen? Yes. We all started out as weeds, and by God's mercy, we're now wheat. That's a good thing. And so there may be many people in our families, at work, on our streets, that are right now those weeds, and they need us to shine and grow well. This morning, we're going to cover three parables. I know, quite a big task for a shorter morning because we obviously abbreviate our message so we can have our Lord's table at the end. But our title this morning is Small Beginnings, Big Results. Small beginnings, big results. You know, I've been thinking about graduates from university recently. How many of you got the job you expected when you got out of university or college? If you look around the room, graduates or people who are in university right now, that might be a little shocking to you. Because I think, you know, what happens many times is we're sold a bill of goods when we're in university and they tell you, oh yeah, we've got graduates who did this and did that and they're making all kinds of money. And the bottom line is, if you're looking for a six-figure income when you come out of university, you're dreaming. And it's interesting to see young people when dreams collide with reality. It's like, what happened? Well, you know what? It's interesting. Not many graduates, because of the education they've received, would be willing to start small. I remember a situation that I had. I finished my undergrad work here at York, and I traveled over to London to do my teaching degree there. And I was having a very, very hard time getting a job. And my idea was, I'm going to be a teacher. And I knew that was going to be the case. But I didn't have a job, and there was no money coming in the house. And I love my wife so much because she just, you know, it's kind of like, you know how that proverb said that iron sharpens iron? She's like my iron, and she just knows how to say things to me that just sharpen me for my good. And one day she looked at me with no job, and she said, why don't you go work in a grocery store? That's sharp. And I'm not lying when I say my initial response was, I am too good for that. Look at all of my education. Look at all of the things that I've been through. And it was so helpful, those words, because in spite of the fact that I had that kind of initial reaction, it caused me to go to God. And he began to speak to me, really? Are you that big? Are you that proud that you couldn't take an entry-level job to provide for your family? Are you willing to start small and move up? A lot of people are not willing to do that today. And you know, what we like is that kind of overnight success. Boom! And look, history is littered with the casualties of overnight success. We don't have to talk about lottery winners. You don't even have to talk about professional athletes who have poured their lives into a certain sport, and 5 to 6 years after they've retired, they don't have two pennies to rub together. Sorry, we have to make that different now. In Canada, we don't have pennies, right? So it'd be like two nickels. It's sad. Overnight success, we kind of like it. Think about the young celebrities who have risen to stardom and then just crash and burn. It happens all the time, and yet we kind of like it. We kind of like the idea of quick and easy success. And that is not God's kingdom. God's kingdom, the way it grows, is slow and gradual, incremental. It's moving. But don't mistake this. It starts really small. It starts really small. And we're talking about the disciples and their understanding of the kingdom this morning, because they don't quite get it. Their thought is that when the kingdom of God comes, it's going to be like David. It's going to be like Solomon. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be on the top, and everyone's going to be bringing things to us. And Jesus is adjusting that again and again and again to help them to realize, no, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be slow, steady, and gradual. I have a quote for you from the ESV Study Bible. I think it's interesting. It's going to lead right into the first parable. It says this: first the blade, you'll get this in a second. First the blade, then the ear, goes against the popular expectation at the time of Jesus that God's kingdom would come suddenly and all at once. Jesus teaches that the messianic rule of God commences inconspicuously, grows slowly and steadily in the midst of much adversity. How many of you have grown because of the things you've gone through? So if you're new, I love people raising their hands. So don't raise your hand because you want to please me, but I love interaction. So how many of you have gone through painful things? Okay, now we got everybody included. That's good. So, you know, sometimes it just doesn't translate what I'm saying. We've gone through painful things, and now that you look back, and of course, when you're going through, you're like, I hate this. I don't want to go through it. When you look back, you're like, wow, I really grew through that. My heart is bigger. My capacity is bigger. And so the kingdom is no different. It is going to grow slowly. It is going to grow incrementally, and sometimes inconspicuously. You're not going to see it. You're not going to notice. Let's look at our first parable. Small beginnings, big results. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprout and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And here's a very simple parable that Jesus is telling. And he's just saying, look, the kingdom of God is going to grow. And it's going to be just, I mean, can you put up that next slide? It's just going to be like that. It's going to start small, But it's going to grow kind of organically, just spontaneously it's going to grow. And you'll notice that this parable is different from the parable of the sower. Because there, the emphasis is on the ground. Here, the emphasis is not on the ground, it's on the seed. There's power in the seed. There's ability in the seed. How in the world does an oak tree come out of an acorn? It's in there. And it's the same with you and me. The seed has been planted within us. The seed has been planted in all of us. And God's kingdom is growing slowly but surely. Steadily. Here's another parable that Jesus gives. It's called the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? And what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown in the ground, again, notice the emphasis is on the seed, not the ground. When it's sown in the ground, even though it's the smallest of all seeds on the earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade. What are you seeing here? You're seeing the same kind of thing. Growth. Normal growth. Here's a picture of a mustard seed for you. Very small. Very, very small seed. And yet, when the seed is planted, it becomes this big bush. Look at that thing. Some of the mustard seeds, they grow into 8 to 10, 12 foot bushes. What Jesus is saying, and you got to love this about the way that Jesus communicates, he's saying, look, let me give you an example that that you all know. You all see this all the time. You all know what a mustard plant looks like. You all know what a mustard seed begins like. It's small. But look at the result. Look at the result. So while we see something that is small, we may think, oh, it's insignificant. Not to God. In its smallest form, and think back now to the book of Acts, in its smallest form, as the kingdom of God is growing, don't you believe that it's as important to God at that stage as it will be when it's all done? It is. It is as important. Small beginnings, big results. Give you one last example. This is another parable that comes along. And it is important to realize that these parables are grouped together in the Gospels. They're grouped together. And that's important because we've got this theme of growth. Slow, steady, sure, consistent growth. So here we have the last parable. He told another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. And just in case you're not clear what this looks like, here's a picture of it. It's like you take the yeast and you put it into the dough and it causes it to grow. Some of us, I know we might have a hard time with this parable because of what we've been taught in the past, that leaven is always a negative example in the Bible. Actually, leaven is mentioned 98 times in the Bible, and the majority of times, you would be absolutely right, it has a negative connotation. But I've got a quote for you here, which is interesting, because I think it helps us this morning. Remember, this is connected to the other two parables about growth. Look at this. Jesus uses the metaphor of leaven, which usually has a negative connotation in Scripture, to symbolize. Now, so what is Jesus doing here? Jesus is using this metaphor of leaven to symbolize positive, hidden permeation of the kingdom of heaven in this world. The kingdom is indeed active, though not fully visible in the world, because it begins with an inner transformation of the heart. Growth. The kingdom is growing. Is it growing as fast as you would like? Probably not. But it is growing nonetheless. We did mention at the very beginning in that first quote that oftentimes things, seeds, and we as people grow through adversity. We grow through adversity. For those of you who are familiar with the book of Acts, let me just take you there for a second, because I think it's important for us to see that we grow, but we have to get through these painful things. We have to adjust as we're growing. Are you all following me on that? When you're a parent and you're really enjoying your child in those early few days, there's adjustments that are coming. That child is growing and there are adjustments. And it's the same at school. It's the same at work. Growth comes with adjustments. So in the very beginning of the book of Acts, what do we see? We see massive explosion. Do you remember the way that it goes? The very first time that Peter is speaking, there's only 120 of them. The book of Acts starts out with 120 people. These are fervent believers following in Jesus. Then, of course, we have the day of Pentecost. And what happens? 3,000 people were added. That's impressive. That's explosive growth. A couple of days later, or a little while later, Peter and John are in trouble because they took care of a lame man. They helped him and he got healed. And as Peter is now speaking about what actually happened to this man, 5,000 people got saved. That's big growth. But with growth comes issues. Have you noticed that? What happens when your kid grows? New shoes. New clothes. I'm looking at Rachel. I'm thinking she's got two little boys and those knees are going to get worn out in those clothes real soon, right? It's like, that's what happens, okay? With growth comes issues. Not always negative issues, but positive ones as well. But with growth comes issues. So let me show you a slide of a sister that I just love the story of. This is, for those of you not familiar, this is Johnny Erickson. Her life was a wonderful life as she was growing up as a teenager. 17-year-old, she's out playing, swimming in the lake near her the cottage or whatever, and she gets to the end of the pier, and she dives off and snaps her neck. She's quadriplegic. And while many people would give up, Johnny said, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and I am going to keep moving forward. And she grew through that adversity. She grew through the issue that she had. And not only does she sing so well, speak so well for the Lord, look at the kind of artwork she does with her teeth. Unreal. And many of us, we've not gone through something that extreme, but we have gone through our things as well. And you know what happened in the book of Acts? They also met their problems. I want to show you some verses from chapter 6. I think Nigel covered it this morning. For those of you who weren't in the class, you'll now be brought up to speed. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, that talks about what was going on before, a complaint by the Hellenists. For those of you not familiar with that, this doesn't mean people who are going to hell. Okay, these are, right? It's not another word, not a word for unbelievers. This is just, means Greek speakers, people from Hellenistic background. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. That's an issue. Was it a racial issue? It's an issue. It's an issue. And with growth comes issues. And adjustments have to be made. And the 12, that's the 12 apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we, that is the apostles, should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. And so here's what's going on. The apostles realize there's an issue because of the growth that they have encountered. But they're saying this: we can't handle this. We can't do the preaching of the word and taking care of the practical things. We need help. There's an adjustment that has to be made. And so here's what happened in verse 4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole congregation. And they chose those 7 men and they set them before the apostles. They prayed for them. They laid hands on them. Growth is what we're looking for, right? They were growing well. They had this speed bump with, you know, an issue with food distribution. The apostles dealt with it. Look what happened in verse 7. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Amen? Isn't that good? We've got to recognize what our issues are, and we've got to make the adjustments so we can continue to grow. So it brings me to our conclusion this morning, and that is, what about us? What about us? Here we are, Church in Toronto. We've been growing for a little while. We've been doing well. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about something called Vision 2020. And the reason why we came up with that is because we just felt like, you know, we've grown to a certain point, and we just need help. We just need a whole lot more help. And what was concerning to me is if I looked at the people who were responsible for the different areas in the church, it was mainly the elders and the leadership team. And that's not healthy. It's okay, but we need help. And that's why we put out this vision with the help of many of the brothers and sisters. We want normal, healthy, steady, consistent growth. We have to make adjustments. You know, for many of us who've been around this church for a long time, when it was nice and small and family-like and everybody knew everybody, it was kind of easy to get along. And not, I don't mean you're fighting, but it just means Bob knew everything, Nigel knew everything, Steve knew everything. And so we could kind of be okay with that. But we grew. And we thank the Lord that we grew. We've got to make adjustments. And this is part of the adjustment. So here's the way I will leave it this morning with you. I just want to say, for those of you who have filled out your response card, thank you so much. I know I'm so encouraged by the areas that I'm taking care of, just your responses and your being willing to say, yes, I want to continue, or yes, I want to jump on board. That's wonderful. And so if you have not yet responded, I would tell you, there's booklets in the back. They look like this. It tells you all about our church, all about the direction that we're taking. This is Vision 2020, not because we think we've got clear vision, just because we feel like 2020 is a good year. 5 years out, we want to see what the church will look like. So back on the back table over there as you go out, if you want to find one, or if you don't have one, talk to me. I can get one to you. Leave you with this thought. Band members, why don't you come on up? Don't expect overnight change. It's slow. My hair is not black anymore. It's short. That's to hide the bald spot. It doesn't hide it very well, but anyway. Sometimes we move slow, but believe me, I honestly say this, we are moving in the right direction. We believe the Lord is with us. We're not going to see that kind of overnight change. You will see change coming.